This morning I titled the message, Casting the Net. As we approach a week of Bible school, I want to share a sermon that we all would think about our Bible school, prepare our hearts, and do the best we can. Give it all. And I think it's good for us. And I've been advised by others to do this in ministry and was aware that we didn't do this enough in our church planting experience and our ministries that we're engaging in, to stop and think about the why, the what, and the who of our summer Bible school. And so I want to attempt to do that in a sermon this morning to encourage, to get us fired up a bit, to encourage everyone that's involved and engaged to give it their best and then leave it with God. But we do want to give it our best. Casting the net is the title I chose, and it's taken from Jesus' own words that he said, if you follow me, I'll make you to be as well. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Mark says, I'll make you to become. So I want to think about that word, becoming. And I want to ask the question to all of us to think deeply about, who are you becoming? Jesus also said, or it was Paul, I believe, I'm sorry, I didn't look this one up, but when you come to Christ, you will become a new creature, and all things become new. And so this idea of becoming, it's a journey, and we're all becoming something. And so I want you to think about yourself. If you're following Jesus, guaranteed. I want to emphasize that, guaranteed, you will become a fisher of men. So you'll be learning how to cast the net. It's a passion and drive of your life because you're following Jesus. You're becoming a new creature, but you're wanting to save the world and you're wanting all to hear the gospel, and it's a passion. It's a driving passion of your life. It's a challenge. I know it's a strong statement, but it's for me to think about this over and over again. Is that who I'm becoming? Is it really something that's passionate about my life? And especially as we think about summer Bible school, I think it is similar experience to casting the net. I've never fished with a net. I think of fishing as more with a line and putting bait on. I don't enjoy it myself. I'd rather engage and be doing something and throwing a frisbee or something that's more enjoyable. But some of you just love fishing, and I appreciate that. But casting the net, fishing with a net, I'm not sure if any of you ever fished with a net. But Jesus' disciples many times would cast the net. And Jesus used that analogy to saving souls and preaching the gospel and to sharing your faith and all of those things as casting the net. And I have used this test to my ministry. I try to follow this the best that I can. That I want to cast the net to the multitudes, but disciple the few. And I think that captures, you cannot disciple multitudes, but you can cast the net to the multitudes, and it can be part of your life. Many, many opportunities that we have to cast the net, just showing yourself a friend to someone, and many different ways that we can cast the net. So I want you to keep that in your mind throughout the week. This picture of casting a net. Those who are teaching, those who are inviting. Why did we go out into town? We're casting the net. We really want God to be glorified, and we really want to be used of God. And so, I don't know what you think as we prepare for Bible school. As I mentioned, I want us to think about this. Why have summer Bible school? And why do we sacrifice a week of evenings? What is our focus? And start thinking about the why. I don't know a lot of the history of when summer Bible schools were started. But I think it was the Lancaster Conference that in church plants, I believe it began, and I didn't study the history, so I can't speak much. But I know that it was an effort to reach into communities connected to church planting. And so there's an understanding that our own children every week have Sunday school and much Bible teaching in homes and schools, and so our own children and families was not the focus. We are not, and I am not, interested in sacrificing a whole week just to teach our own children. Now, our children will be taught. Don't misunderstand me. But the focus of why we would do this, the need, and we'll talk more about the who. But and I may get these mixed together, so it will not be a point-by-point laid out as I share these thoughts. But the why is to reach out into the community and to teach those that have not heard, to reach into homes that do not have Bible teaching, and we know that there's many right around us that have very little, if any, Bible teaching. And so I think that was the vision. I'm quite sure of that. And it is, at least as I think about our Bible school, that is really why we're doing that. I do want our children to be taught as well throughout the week. And I'm not saying that we're not teaching our own, but we want those to reach those that do not have the Bible teaching. So we want to also build relationships. I think that is another goal that we have. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about what is the vision and why do we do this somewhat together. To reach the community with the gospel is one of the primary goals, to reach into homes. And I want you to think about some of the handouts or whatever you'll be teachers will be giving out, and how wonderful it is for children to take Bible lessons home and their parents begin to pick it up and read, and ways that we can reach into the home. So you can send things back along home. And so homes, it's a way that we can reach into homes. There may be new people here that we can send things back, and the parents will be reading that. And I've heard many testimonies of parents hearing the gospel through children taking literature back home. It is also, in my opinion, a time where we can train and equip our own young people. Not that we have a youth group, but a large youth group, but we can train and equip our young people in missions. So it is a time where we can learn how to teach and learn how to build friendships with someone new, learn how to be friendly and be a missionary. So it is a time where we can train and equip. And I think that same thing happens in our Bible clubs as well, where you can learn how to engage with community people. Saturday night will be a night of community night outside, and so that's where community comes together, and we can build relationships and train all of us. We can be better equipped in missions. So I think that is what I would love to see for all of our children growing up here in church, to learn how to engage in ministry, learn how to be effective in building relationships, talking to community people, teaching lessons, and whatever all that includes, and that is really mission work. So it's a time of training where we can cast the net and become better equipped in doing so. It's a time where we can inspire love for Jesus. We can provide a safe environment for people or children to come into. It's a time where people can come from town, hopefully feeling safe. It's a place where there should be a presence here that is safe and just an overwhelming presence of God that just overwhelms people. We can love children and show love, the love of Christ. We can be a caring ministry, like we have time to listen and care for people. So, as you think about the why and what is the purpose, maybe I could add to that, as we're thinking about that, what are some of the goals that we have? I think ultimately our goal would be to win souls. Many times, people will remember things they learned in Bible school years later. And I think of, in our Bible club ministry, different times I think of Isaiah. Some of you remember Isaiah. And what a blessing it was to see him drinking in the Bible truths and just taking in the Bible lessons. And he was asking questions. And he was growing to the point where I was just amazed at what was happening, the questions he was asking, and the good times we had together. And finally there came a time when it just stopped like that. And I was a bit, all of us were wondering why. And I'm convinced that Isaiah came to a place, he came to a crossroad in his life. He heard clearly Bible teaching and the gospel message, and he came to a place where he had to choose. And it was a big choice. Do I accept Christ and follow Christ, or do I keep going with the crowds? Going to public school and all of the things and the pressures that they face at home, it's very, very difficult for someone to say yes to Jesus Christ and follow Jesus and live it out. And so I believe that that was effective. I would rather him weigh the cost and think deeply about his salvation than making a commitment that is shallow and not able to carry it out. So I think effective teaching is a goal that we should all strive for. It's a goal that I have. I want to always keep doing better and always have room to improve. And I think we should always be looking to grow and to be effective in teaching to the point where we can leave Bible truths with the children that come. Effective singing. I think that is also a very much a part of the goals to have a successful Bible school. Effective singing and spirit-filled singing, where we have worshipful singing that is honoring and glorifying God. Children are taught to sing, and many of those songs they will remember a long time. Think of some of the children that came back just recently. Some came back to visit us, that have been to Bible clubs, and he said, he asked, "Hey, could you sing me some of those songs again that we used to sing?" I said, "Which one would you like me to sing?" He said, "Well, there's a candle." I said, okay, here we go. Let's sing There's a Candle on our porch. He started to, we sang. He asked me to sing it, and I did the best I could. But my point is, this singing, that is just something that we want it to be worshipful and good and the best that we can, and that goes with them. And they remember that years later. Those children will remember the songs that they learned. I think they should be songs that are deep with meaning. Not shallow songs, but just rich songs that they will remember years and years later. And it could be a point of bringing them to Christ. Also, I think we should teach character and discipline. That is something that is hard work to have children, large scale, fill the church and to teach them to be respectful and to teach them character. It's not salvation, but it's teaching character and discipline, and it will help them in their life if they learn those things. Help them build self-esteem. I think we need to believe in people and speak truth into their lives, but also show them what they can become and befriend them and walk alongside of them and help them through their struggles and give them a listening ear and build self-esteem where they can see what God has for them, to know and understand that God loves them, and just build self-esteem in their lives. Show them that you are there for them. That any time they can come back and you're there for them. I know that many of these we're all doing, and I'm not sharing this that we're not doing this, but I want us all to think, including myself, how can we do it better? Are there areas we can improve, and think deeply about the why and the what is the vision of our Bible club, Bible school. Lastly, the who. Who are we ministering to? I did mention already that I think this week is community focused. That is very much a burden of my heart that we would all have this week. We're looking out. We're looking out into the streets. We went out into the community. We are community focused, and we're providing a week, and we understand that the why we sacrifice a week is for those who have not heard. So we are spreading the gospel. We are engaging in mission work. We are casting the net in this community and doing the best we can. So first of all, I think we are focusing on unreached people, the ones that have not heard good Bible teaching. A week of summer Bible school is to be available for everyone to come, and it is for those who haven't heard or had good Bible teaching. We are ministering to and inviting to many who come from broken homes, hurting and broken homes. Very few homes in this town have parents that live together and are married and committed to each other. So many children come from broken homes, and there's a lot of pain that goes along with that. So when you see behavior that you wonder why children are acting that way, there's many reasons that could be behind it, but we are there. We really do care about those that do not have the home life that we do. It is a burden on our heart, and so we are focusing and making this week available for anyone to come, no matter what for home they're part of, whatever their background is, whatever they're struggling with. This week of Bible school is for those that are hurting and coming from broken homes or whatever the setting might be. And we are also we're ministering to different cultures. So who are we ministering to? It's many different cultures. We may have black, brown, yellow, white. It doesn't matter. The culture may be different, but the Bible truths are the same. And so we're ministering to many different cultures, and hoping that that is the experience. It's good for us to see that and to minister to, learn to think outside the box, if you will, and minister to those of different cultures, not expecting them to do everything like we do, not expecting them to talk right like we talk, and all those things that may be different. So now I want to share a few, thinking about what are you doing to reach the why, what, and the who of our summer Bible school. Let's think a little bit about that and in an encouraging way to engage and do the best we can, casting the net. I think that I have seen a lot of improvement over the years in creating a positive culture. And if I would start over in our ministry and Bible clubs, I would give a lot of attention to this right up front, because I have seen that in the early years of our ministry and Bible clubs and summer Bible schools and whatever, a lot of bad behavior and youth that came that were hard to control and very disrespectful. And then I heard and talked to another pastor, and these same youth would go to their church and sit for 45 minutes. And I asked myself, why? Do they act this way at our Bible clubs and that way over there? And it has everything to do with the culture that was set. And I know it's hard work. I don't have all the answers, but I know that we're all engaging in this, learning in this, and asking the question, how do we create a positive culture? And I've seen a lot of improvements, and am excited with what I see in the culture that we have now, where they can learn respect and bad behaviors need to be dealt with in a class setting. And when there's bad behaviors, I think it is important that there's leadership in the classes and the expectations are set. We don't expect to see a lot of things happening in classes that are dishonoring God, so we just need to be very clear about those things. And if we have phones along, we only use them for calling and some of those things that are very important to create a good culture that honors and glorifies God. So bad behaviors, large groups, it gets harder. And I think when the culture is set, people will learn to come into that and not push the limits and step outside the boundaries. We cannot judge success by numbers, and this is another thing that I have learned and am continuing to learn. We cannot judge success by numbers. In other words, our church is packed out and overflowing. Yes, we had a good week of Bible school. Not really. So I would rather see a small group and a lot of engaging questions and a lot of good teaching and just a lot of good things happening, rather than a large group and everything chaotic. And so it's not necessarily numbers, although we do want people to come, and I always like to see success in our invitations and those things, but we can't say that if it's a small group that we didn't succeed and it wasn't worth coming together every night of the week if it's only 15 people or 10 people, I would just encourage everyone, whoever the Lord sends, let's make it the best experience we can. And to me, if I see classes where there's good engaging, there's friendships developing, and people are feeling safe here, it doesn't really matter if it's 2, 5, or 10. Whoever God sends, I would love to just see classes that are healthy, a lot of engaging, good spiritual truths taught, and things that go beyond the Bible school week. You can never let a bully control the crowd. We've learned that. A bully sometimes can really mess things up. I've seen that over the years. People bullying and some getting bullied around, and it should be a safe place that we really watch. Be careful that no bully is allowed to be unkind and just controlling the crowd. And when we took a bully away, the whole class changes. That's hard to stay on top of, but I think we all have to watch out for that. So creating a good culture is hard work. I think some of the things that help build it, I already mentioned good singing, good teaching. When people such as Isaiah come to the place, a crossroad in their life, if you're involved in that and you're teaching that, and someone comes to the crossroad in their life and they're not ready to make a commitment to the Lord, that's okay. God never forces anyone into the kingdom of God. People choose that life, and people need to have time to consider the cost and all the things that God asks of them. And we acknowledge that that's very hard, but good teaching brings out the requirements of God and the picture of who God is. I want to also say that I think we should avoid Mennonite huddles. Now, I say that carefully, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I love to see Mennonite huddles in our fellowship meals and after church. Mennonite huddles or those within the church, it's good, it's wonderful. I love to see that when there's friendships and spiritual conversations after church, that's a good sign of a healthy church. And what I mean by avoiding Mennonite huddles, this is a community focus. So the reason we're doing this is not for our fellowship amongst ourselves, although that's very important. We have fellowship meals. We have a lot of time for that. We're setting a week aside and availing ourselves to the community. And so be careful. I'm not saying this that nobody can talk to each other. It's wonderful. I'll be doing that too afterward. What I mean by that is where we all are together and others that come in may not have people to talk to. That is what I think we should avoid. So if people come in, remember we want to show the love of Christ and do the best we can. I also think the Saturday night focus, we should really think through. Why do we do a night not in the park, but in our backyard? And to me, that is also a community focus where we're providing food, we're having good singing, we're inviting the whole community. I'd love to see the yard filled up, but I don't want all the church on one side and the community on the other. I think we're missing the point if that is the experience. So what I would love to see is a lot of engagement where tables are just mixed and we give a lot of focus to that, where people will want to come to that each year. So a fellowship meal at church, I love them. I think it's wonderful. We get together, there's church fellowship. That's necessary, it's important. We're not providing that or planning that or setting all that aside for Saturday night, but rather it is the community. We're here. We want to talk. We want to learn, and it takes hard work to learn to know new people and to engage in conversation. So let's be intentional in that. And the other one is avoid worldliness. I think at Bible school we should not be too worried about sports and who's winning games and politics and whatever it is. Although I love talking about some of those things, I think we should provide a good spiritual culture, avoiding a worldliness. And then creating a mentoring program. You know, if there's someone there that wants to talk and wants to go deeper, wonderful. If you would be there and make a new friend and be a mentor to someone. Many different ways to do that, and I think it can include all of us. The fishing and tea parties and whatever opportunities you have. Inviting people into your home or around a meal is a great time to mentor people and talk. Whatever opportunities you have. And prayer. Let's not forget to pray. I know it's a busy week. You know, just be very honest myself. I tried to keep it light, but somehow it seems to get busy. And I think you can even, during the day, at lunchtime if you're at work, just take a little bit of time to pray. Engage in prayer, because it is a work of God, and there will be spiritual battles going on. And so prayer, specific prayer for current needs, needs that you sense in your class or throughout the week. Teach students to pray. That's another great opportunity, teachers, to think about those that are not comfortable praying. And so have each of them, if you have opportunity, to have a little prayer and ask young children to lead in a prayer and just teach them how. Teach prayer and have your own personal prayer as well. And really, what we're doing is preparing them for church. Preparing them for church and showing them a little what church is like. And wherever they choose to go to church, I'm passionate about everyone having a church. And so what we're doing is we're teaching Bible truth. We're encouraging them to engage in church life and to be part of going to church, being part of a church that can disciple them. So casting the net in many different ways. This week, as we engage in a week of Bible school, I want to encourage everyone that has a part to think deeply about the why, what is our vision, and who are we ministering to? And I know we could add to this list. I could have opened it up and have all of you engage in this conversation. I would love to hear from each of you. But most importantly, let's think about those things. Why, what, and who. And let's give God the glory for what He will do each night this week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our church family. I pray and I ask that we would be becoming fishers of men, as you said. Those who follow Christ will become, guaranteed, fishers of men. Lord, it looks like a big task, and the week looks long. and the work looks hard. But I pray that you would breathe life into each of us, each family, each individual that takes part, that we would be excited to engage this week. We'd be in prayer about the moving of your Holy Spirit and spiritual truths being taught. We'd pray for a harvest of souls, and most of all, changed lives that only you can do. Bless us as we minister throughout this week, and we will give you all the honor and glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you as you share throughout the week.